That should be a little bit of a clue, but I won't steal the thunder away from the Jazz Cat. He is guest today, is responsible for, and is the producer of this album called Shock Value, recorded live at Smoke. And without further ado, let me bring on the Jazz Cat himself, Leroy Downs. How you doing, Leroy?
Very well, Gary. How are you?
Another jazz luminary with you.
Always, man. Well, you know, there's lots of cats in this business, and a lot of people are out there doing it right, and this is one of the gentlemen right here we have with us today, Mr. Jeremy Pelt. What's happening, Jeremy?
Hey, how you doing, Leroy?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Good. Well, I know you're here in Los Angeles a day early before you have a set of gigs scheduled at the Jazz Bakery, and I apologize for no sunshine for you today.
Yeah, I was about to ask you about that.
I put my request in, but it didn't seem to happen.
Yeah.
You know, when people think of images of jazz, you know, usually the first instrument that comes to mind is a saxophone, and hopefully not some silhouette of some long-haired guy tilting the horn to the sky, you know. But when you say trumpet, I think people switch and think of tone, a tone that resonates with them more than an image. You know, what note or tones resonate with you when you play, and what makes you feel like when you're playing it, that's the essence of the music?
Wow, that's a question I've never heard before. What tones? What I'd say, I guess the vision that I get is more something that really, you know, and I hate to say it, but it is indescribable. But I'll do my best. It's a feeling of you know, being at peace with yourself. You know, especially when I play the slower songs, when I play the ballads or what have you. You know, it's one and the same as breathing, really. You know, when I play, it's an extension of my voice. So, therefore, that's why I like to, you know, breathe with the horn. And that's kind of what I get out of it.
Yeah, you know, because when you hear Miles or when you hear any of these cats play, I mean, when you think of the name Miles Davis and you hear a note of one of his songs, you just say, that's Miles.
Sure.
But I always wonder, like, what notes when some people are playing, it's like you feel yourself like, man, this is it right here, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't really think, I try not to be too, you know, analytical about it in that way. Not even analytical, you know, in a strict sort of way. But, you know, when I hear one note and I say, oh, that's Lee, or one note and I say, that's Miles, or one note and I say, that's Hub, you know, I could only hope that I can get there. And there are some recordings that I can go back and listen to where there might be a phrase, you know, maybe a bar of something that I really felt was pretty hip.
Right.
You know, but that's as far as it goes. You know, I've had Eddie Henderson tell me that when he hears me, he could, you know, he could identify me, and that's to me a great, you know, honor for him to say that. You know, even though I don't think that, you know, I'm completely there, I think I'm well on my way, and so I'm excited to one day be there where it's unmistakable.
But, right.
You know.
Well, that is a great compliment, you know, because what people like Eddie and the ones that you mentioned, Lee Morgan, Freddie Hubbard, and Miles Davis, you know, what they've done is they've spent some time with their craft, and they've developed a signature, and signatures are big in this music because it kind of makes you, I mean, even though you're not necessarily trying to sound like yourself, it's an identifier, and people really relate to that well.
Right.
You know, there's a front line of young trumpet players on the scene these days that are quite powerful, man, and everyone is making their mark in the music. What social, political, and emotional mores do you pull from your energy that puts the pelt on the music?
Well, you know, there's always a couple of things that, issues that just being black presents.
Right.
You know, so I don't even want to really go too deep into that, but I mean, that there is the regular issue of, you know, inequality and injustice that we just face, just, you know, existing and coexisting in a society with, you know, a lot of other races. You know, there's a lot of different preconceptions of how you're going to be that, you know, sometimes, well, a lot of times it's jive and it turns out not to be true. For me, I guess one of my biggest things that gets me on the soapbox quicker than anything, really, in terms of music, has to do with, and I was just, it was funny that you asked that because I was just having this conversation with my brother-in-law, is about, you know, the, I guess, the state of modern jazz criticism. And that's kind of like my platform, if you will, you know, and just trying, you know, because I'm passionate, just like, you know, everybody else that's, you know, in this music, just trying to carve a niche is, you know, about, you know, preserving
right.
the music. And, you know, I feel like there's a tremendous disservice done anytime something is compared, you know, so much, you know, so, like an example, you know, I'll read reviews of Shock Value, and, you know, pretty much every review is saying, oh, yeah, this is, you know, his way of dealing with Miles' music of the 70s, 60s, and 70s, and it's just like, first of all, you know, people, you know, critics are always trying to, you know, say, well, you know, he's jumping on the bandwagon and trying to do something electric, but it's really them that are jumping on the bandwagon. I mean, if we're out here as musicians working, you know, just trying to live, because, I mean, that's what we're doing. We got a job just like you got a job, just like everybody got a job. And we're just trying to live and support our families and, you know, just be out on the scene and be creative. And, you know, there are some of us that are luckier than others that could do this full time. But nevertheless, everybody's trying to live. So now, if you have somebody sitting over here saying, well, this is, you know, just like Miles, that kind of, you know, already paints a perception in somebody that doesn't know any better than mine. And to me, it's kind of irresponsible because it takes away from the tremendous, you know, list of other things that I've listened to that got me to this point and got the band to that sound.
Well, you know, I agree with you. I think it is very irresponsible. For me, myself, I do write articles as well, but when I write about the music, I only write about it how I feel. I would never go as far as to say, this is what this artist is trying to do without asking him, which is why I love to be able to do these interviews, because I can ask you, and you can tell us
right.
what you feel about the music.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, my brother-in-law asked me, he said, well, you know, what do you listen to? And, you know, I was like, you know, this is him. I wish he was, you know, more, you know, critics would, you know, address that because, you know, yes, the fact is, has Miles influenced me? Of course he has. He's influenced everybody, even people that don't play trumpet.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and be like, no, I've never heard, come on, you know. But then again, I've been sitting over here listening to Bootsy Collins, been listening to the Blackbirds, I've been listening to Ray Charles, I've been listening to Bobby Blue Bland, and I actually played with Bobby Blue Bland. I've been listening to Scatterlife, and I've got all types of influences coming into the music. Cream, Radiohead, Jimi Hendrix, you know, Mwan Dishi. So, I mean, there's so much that goes into it. And, you know, for it to just be dismissed as, this is Miles.
Right.
You know, come on.
You're listening to Mr. Jeremy Pelt right here on the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, you know, you answered one of my questions because I was going to say, you know, you pretty much cross all genres with your music. I mean, there are all kind of elements there from rock, hip-hop, fusion, and you just named some of the albums that you were listening to. I kind of wanted to know what was in your head about that.
Yeah, I mean, I love it all. I still, and, you know, and I unapologetically still listen to Miles, and I still have, you know, my extreme Blue Note fixes. I'll be listening to Lee Morgan more than anything, and, you know, just, you know, getting that music in my soul, because
right.
that's what it is, you
Absolutely.
Know. People that sit there and say, well, you know, I'm not trying to listen to that anymore because I'm trying to do my own thing, you know, I disagree with that, and I just think you should be able to can't, you know, just all of a sudden deprive our souls of the very music and the very reason that we got into it in the first place.
Well, you know, I think Charles Mingus said it best, man. Better get hit in your soul,
right?
You know, I was speaking with Renee Marie not too long ago, and she told me that you're such a wonderful young man and that, you know, you make sure to send her a Mother's Day card every year. You know, and I believe it's this kind of respect and thoughtfulness that gives us some indication as to, you know, how you were raised and the way you play and also the way you compose your music.
Yeah, and I love Renee. That was an honor to play on both her discs, and she's such a great artist, and you know, and I love the way she thinks too, because it's really on line with the way that I think with regards to I guess selection of material and what she wants to perform.
Right.
You know, so I love her for that.
You know, there are many ways to express yourself, and I think music is, of course, one of the most powerful painting musical pictures for people to feel and think. What are some of the stories or messages that would be told if your music was a narrator?
Well, there are certain compositions that I've written and recorded that do pack a big story, and some that are very close to me, like on my second disc, I believe it was, which was on the Crisscross label, there's a song called In My Grandfather's Words, which, you know, is a majestic type of song, you know, and that tells the story of my grandfather, who grew up, you know, in the very early 20th century, and having to flee Virginia and move up north because he threw a rock at a racist mail carrier that was, you know, belittling his mother. And so they're all looking for him now. The whole town's looking for him, and he had to flee. You know, and these type of injustices and things of that nature definitely inspired me to tell the story in music.
Yeah, it's part of our story. We carry it on into the future, and we let people just let it be known, not to say that you put it right there in front of you, but it's like, don't ever forget, this is a part of me too.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I think the older generation gets it, because, you know, they've had the Dukes, Trains, Minguses, and Miles of yesterday as a proper vehicle to learn and understand the power of the music.
Right.
You know, for the youth of your generation, let's say, that has so much media thrust upon them, what percentage do you think get it? And for those who don't, what do you think would be a great solution for them to get jazz music?
Well, I think a great solution would be kind of what's being done already. I mean, if you're talking about my generation, I could only think about, you know, even the generation below me now at this point.
Right.
31, I'm looking at, you know, 19 and 20-year-olds that are coming up and playing, and they're definitely in this, you know, this other type of generation of you know, hip-hop and merging of different music. And, you know, I definitely grew up with that, too. I think that, for the most part, the hip-hoppers have it right. I hate to even say that word, hip-hoppers. It makes me sound square. But, you know, the rap artists have a tremendous vision, some of them. You know, there's always some music and some parts of the music that are questionable, even in jazz, in hip-hop, and country, anything.
Right.
But, you know, those that are looking to merge the two in a very artistic way are doing a great service to the music. Because I tell you one thing, you know, if I go to my barbershop, there's not one person in there that really listens to jazz, you know, but, you know, they love what they hear. They learn to appreciate jazz because, you know, they might be listening to, you know, jazz and taz and all these different, you know,
RH Factor,
and some of the more mainstream kind of jazz artists that have jazz, you know, as a loop or in the hook or what have right then and there, but it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, well, that's what definitely what we need. Really.
And that's what we need. So I guess, in essence, my point is that I think that the music definitely has to move forward, and this is one of the avenues that it can move forward in. And when we're talking about my generation and the generation, you know, below, you know, after mine,
right?
You have to take that into consideration. You can't keep this music. This music is not meant to be, you know, like a, you know, we're not this type of thing that you go visit in a museum.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
You have to keep it moving forward. Now, I mean, a lot of the stuff, I've got a lot of influence in my music, and I just so happen to love, you know, the rock influence. And that's my way of moving forward into electronica and that's what I'm working on.
Yeah.
But whatever you do, the thing is, you just have to, you know, absorb all the influences. And there's nothing wrong with swing too. Some people will look at swing, you know, and think that it's an old thing, but it's definitely, you know, something that always is fresh. It never gets tired to me when I listen to it. It only gets tired if people stop creating, because you'll always swing Take the A-Train, and I love Take the A-Train as much as anybody else, and Duke Ellington's great. He's been great, and he will be great, and that's his legacy.
Yeah.
Billy Strayhorn, these cats, they'll be great, and that's their legacy. Now it's time for us to be out here trying to create our legacy.
Amen.
And that means that we've got so much music that's, you know, been created across all genres, that there's really no excuse for not, you know, coming up with something that's, you know, fresh or that's pushing, you know, the envelope.
I agree with you 100%, man. Jazz is like a drop of water, and those rings have to keep going.
Exactly.
You're listening to Jeremy Pelt right here on the show, live with the Jazz Cat. On 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio. Well, you know, New York is changing, but still remains to be a breeding ground for those musicians hungry for expression. You know, when you landed there, where did you go and what path did you take to immerse yourself in the scene?
You know, when I it was very calculated. I was in Boston at Berkeley, and at that time, I mean, though I was born in Los Angeles, my whole family's from New York. So everybody's there. So every, you know, break that we had, I'd be going back and forth to New York. And when I go, I'd go to jam sessions and meet people. So that when I got here, hopefully they'd remember and, you know, they'd hear me play and they'd want to hire me. And, you know, that did happen. And one of the things I did was I befriended a lot of, you know, good people. There are a lot of bad people and there are a lot of good people. I mean, the people that helped me out the most when I first moved were James Zoller, Derek Gardner, Eddie Henderson, and Philip Harper, four trumpet players. And that's, you know, that's what I learned, is that you got to, you know, help others. And that's what I try to do to young cats that move in the town, in the city. You know, I have them come over. I'd be like, look, I know you might be broke or whatnot. Come over here and try to have a meal. You know, let's listen to some music. Oh, you ain't got this recording? Here, let me make you a copy of it. I'm all about that, because education is very key. And that's exactly what I did when I moved in town. And, you know, whenever James couldn't make a gig, he'd be like, oh, here. And he was never afraid. You know, that's another thing, you know. He wasn't like, you know, oh, this cat could play. I don't want to give him, you know, one of my good gigs, or they'll, you know, not hire me. You know, he was very selfless when he did it, and I really appreciated it. Same thing with Philip. Philip, you know, he was the one that hooked me into the Mingus Band. That's how I got in the Mingus Band. And when I got in the Mingus Band, that, you know, I've met Vincent Herring and Ronnie Cuver and a couple, and John Hicks, and they all had me working with them. Vincent Herring was the reason that I, you know, started playing with Louis Hayes.
Well, you know, this is beautiful, man, because this has been something that's been inspired through all the cats of the day. I mean, you know, you talk about Miles Davis. If Diz and all and Charlie Parker and those guys didn't give people a shot to sit up on stage and get their chops right, you
right.
know, that's how we all grow.
Right.
And I'm glad to hear that it's still going on today.
Yeah. I mean, it could be going on more.
Yeah, it could be.
Mind you, it could be, but it still does go. But it definitely takes a selfless, a selfless type of act. You know, if you can't make a gig and you really believe in somebody else, go ahead. You know, because I do believe there's a part of me that does believe in karma, and I know that it'll come back to me. You know what I mean? So I'm not, if I can't make a real good gig and there's somebody that could really play, I'm like, look, I want to send in somebody that can really play because I don't want to mess up this other person's gig.
Of course. And, it's all about self-respect. You know you're good, and if you have to give a gig up to someone else, it's like that doesn't take away from what you do. And if it does, then you can't live your life like that in this music because you're just going to X yourself out.
Right.
You're listening to Jeremy Pelt right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. My name's Leroy Downs. The show is called Live with the Jazz Cat on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Well, you're here in Los Angeles. You'll be playing at the Jazz Bakery for the next few nights. Not tonight, but January the 23rd through the 26th. And we want everybody to come on down and seek some of those Jeremy Pelt musical adventures out at the Jazz Bakery. Hey, man, it's great talking to you today.
Oh, man, thank you. Thank
Certainly
great
appreciate it.
Talking to you, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I definitely hope everybody comes on out and hears what I have to offer. I guarantee you a good time.
You're guaranteed to get a shock value.
Yeah, I mean, that title came about because, when you establish yourself in a certain type of musical way, you accumulate different types of audiences. And the shock value, it really isn't the shock value to me because I've been doing electric stuff since 2002. It's just that this record was the first fully electric record, and I know that might have shocked some fans. So, and then add in the irony that it's electric and you have the shock. So,
well, you also got to show everybody that you don't live inside a box or their box that they may try to put you in.
Exactly.
Music does not live there.
Right.
Well, thanks for hanging out with me today, man, on Live with the Jazz Cat. Certainly appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot.
You got it, man. Everybody go check out Jeremy Pelt. He'll be at the Jazz Bakery January 23rd through the 26th, and that starts tomorrow evening.
Thank you, gentlemen. That is the Live with the Jazz Cat show. This is Tuesday, January 22nd, 2008, and we have been broadcasting live from the Eastwood Building in Carmel by the Sea, California. You listen to KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show is for locals only. I'm Gary Hamada, and we'll be right back with a lot more. If you'd like to check out the website for the Jazz Cat, all the archived interviews held exclusively here on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, pretty easy to do. All you got to do is go to his website. That's www.thejazzcat.net. And they're all archived on there, and there's some great interviews that you will hear. Get an insight into what makes these guys tick. These are very exceptionally bright individuals. Most jazz players, I have not met one that is not intelligent, bright, and creative. And they are, when you speak to them, you really understand what's behind your music. And that's really important when you listen to people like Jeremy Pelt. The new album, Shock Value, he just said, has to do with the fact that it's electric. And that has a lot to do with the expression that a lot of the artists are giving. They have their own message that they're trying to get across to you, and they're expressing it in a very pure form, and that's the beauty of jazz. So the new album, Jeremy Pelt and Wired Shock Value, Live at Smoke, and here's a little bit of that album that we're playing right now on KRML Jazz and Blues Radio, composition called Cause.
She's made of Becca Stevens, one more time. Yes, indeed. Cars. And Al Street, one more time, too. Al Street.